Plum and gave presentations on Manhattan. What we found over the years, we've actually had visitors from Plum Island that have the potential to move to Manhattan and in Bath come visit Manhattan, and they've been our best salespeople when they go back home. They take pictures and they talk about the restaurants here. They talk about the activities, the cultural events with the university, and everything that Manhattan has to offer. And actually, they go back and give some slide presentations and have created a lot of excitement back at Plum Island. So we don't know for sure how many will be coming. And actually, in Bath will double the number of scientists that are currently at Plum Island when they come to in Bath. So not only will we be looking for the scientists coming from Plum Island, but creating and opportunities for other scientists to come and have work at in Bath.
So it's kind of like you created a little core of your own PR agents out there, but they're not unofficial PR agents to a degree.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the thing that's been real encouraging to them and the comment that we get a lot is, oh, my gosh, anywhere that you want to go in Manhattan is 12 minutes away. And, you know, they find that very attractive.
You know, I came from a similar type of city, Los Angeles, and the appeal is real, I'll tell you that. Being able to not have to deal with breakneck traffic, maybe that's a bad word, but terrible traffic just to get around town, it's a significant increase in your lifestyle.
Sure, sure.
Yep.
And as part of the job fair type, it's maybe tangential to the job fair, is APHIS is also working with possibly setting up some scientist training programs through KSU. I understand you already have 5 KSU students involved with that, but talk to me a little bit about the importance in your mind of building that scientific community, that scientific workforce here in Manhattan, in the right where the center is going to be.
Sure. You know, it's critical because a lot of the scientists are mid-career or late, possibly late in their career, that are at Plum Island. Not all, but because there's definitely a young contingent there also. But it's critical to have students get the opportunity that are interested in foreign animal disease research to be able to work in a facility like NBATH. And so the NBATH scientist training program that APHIS has, like you said, with 5 in the first cohort from K-State out of 8, they want to support up to about 23 students overall. They've reached out to over 40 universities at this point and have about 11 that they have selected in the program at this point. So it's a great opportunity for these young master's, DVM, PhD students to not only further their education and get support as they try to further their education, but then to have a place, you know, be guaranteed that you're going to come back and work in a facility like NBATH. So it's a great opportunity.
And I'm sure KSU is extremely excited about the program, but how about the students? How excited have they seemed? What's kind of their experience been like so far from what you've seen?
I think they're real excited about it. I know several of the students, and you know, one of the first things they got the opportunity to do was to go to Plum Island and to visit with the scientists and to see the facility there. And then the APHIS is putting together, the NSTP team is putting together a NBATH scientist training program symposium that will be in Manhattan this summer. And so they'll bring all of the students that are in the program to Manhattan, and they'll be able to share research. They'll have their mentors there. They'll have other scientists that are, you know, strong in foreign animal disease research, share their research and everything. So it's really a wave that's building, and I think it'll be a really nice opportunity for the future.
Speaking of bringing folks to Manhattan, that leads into my a little bit of my thoughts on, as I understand, NBATH has a number of international partners, from in Australia, Canada, Germany, and the UK. In the future, as NBATH gets rolling, as it becomes operational, should we expect to see maybe a delegation is a bad word, but so to speak, a delegation of maybe foreign scientists coming out and checking out NBATH and working with KSU, working with the companies that will follow NBATH as it becomes operational?
Well, so Ken and I will bat this one across the net. I can tell you that, you know, up to this moment and through the DHS channels, NBATH, the program, has been part of a group of level 4 laboratories that do zoonotic research, which is animal to human disease research. And so, So yes, we have the Canadians, we have the Australians, we have the Brits, the Germans. There are a few other level four labs scattered out there, but they've created what's called BSL4ZNet, so zoonotic network, and it's laboratories that do both human and livestock research. So the Canadians can do livestock research, the Australians can do livestock research, the Brits can. I don't know about the Germans. So that is a relationship that has already developed, and there are USDA personnel who are part of that group. Dr. Beth Lautner, who is one of Dr. Burton's supervisors, one of Ken's supervisors. Cyril Gay from ARS is in the group. So they've been involved. Certainly at DHS, we were looking at a variety of different types of partnership agreements, and we were prepared to look at programs that would potentially bring foreign scientific exchange in. With the transition, this is where I'm batting it over the net to Ken, with the transition to USDA, then they're clearly going to have their own relationships and their own program. And at this point in time, I don't know where that is, but...
And I'm not sure that's totally developed as far as NBAF goes at this point, but the critical piece of it is, NBAF is not only a national asset, but it's an international asset. So they'll serve for diagnostic resource for other countries. There'll be a lot of give and take and a lot of interaction between the scientific community all around the world.
And I believe we're getting short on time here, but there's just a couple more things I want to touch on before we get out of here. One is, I understand you all met with the Livestock Commission recently, and you have a new location for your incoming employees as well.
Yeah, I'll quickly touch on both of those, Nick. And yes, Kansas has a new Secretary of Agriculture, Mike Beam, and so we were very fortunate to be able to meet with him, and then our Livestock Commissioner for Kansas, Dr. Justin Smith, his deputy livestock commissioners, Andy Hawkins and Sarah McReynolds. So basically, it's really important that NBAF stays connected and USDA stays connected with the state efforts and supports those in however we can, but also, keeps them informed with what we're doing. So that was a great meeting. The other piece that we're real excited about and ties back to the fact that we're kicking our hiring up pretty significantly is the new temporary office space for MBAF personnel will be the third floor of the new KSU Foundation building on Kimball Avenue. So we're real excited about that. It's going to be a great place that people are going to be right across the street from MBAF. So I guess you can say we'll decrease our green footprint, because instead of driving back and forth, a lot of people can walk over to MBAF.
That's a great way to look at it. And regarding that job fair, I'm sure we'll hear about it as it becomes planned. And if there's any jobs or anything, usajobs.gov, correct?
Definitely, yes.
All right. Thanks so much for coming out, Dr. Burton and Dr. Vanier.
Thanks, Nick.
All right. When we come back, Governor's Military Council Executive Director Perry Wiggins will be in here. Brandon Peoples will be speaking with him. Stay tuned for more In Focus here on News Radio KMAN.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by ESB Financial. Start saving.